Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is the Reverend Honey Borden, Iranian-born interfaith minister who has had both a near-death experience and ET contact, which we're going to talk about and more. Honey, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's an honor to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. And let's start with your ET contact. When did this all begin?
Wow. So for me, I was born in Iran, and mine started in Iran, actually, because the very first experience that I had was around age 4. I would always prepare it this tiny little suitcase, if you want to call it that. And I would sit outside waiting for my family, my real family, to pick me up. And my parents would say, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm waiting for them. They come from the stars to get me." And my parents could not understand that at all. But for me, it was very clear that I wasn't from here. And I would continuously draw these large, as soon as I could hold a pencil in my finger, I would start to draw these oval shape things on the wall, dining room wall. My dad would get so upset, and I would say, "I came through these holes. This is where I came from." So I knew what portals were. I kept telling that I came from here. And these ancient ruins, I was fascinated with ancient ruins, and which I'll speak about that. So my very first experience, about age 5 or so, is when my parents and I are in the car driving on the Autobahn from Tehran to Karaj. And right about, I would say, 40 to 50 feet to my left, there was this a plasma ship craft appeared on the left, and I was ecstatic in joy that they're here for me. And I kept telling my parents, look, they came to get me. And my parents couldn't see anything. And I was like, "But look, how do you not see? It's ginormous, it's to your left." They couldn't experience it. They couldn't see it. Yet, I remember the light, it was so close down to earth, I could see it out the left window of the car. I remember specifically the way the lights were blinking, and inside of me it was like as if it was blinking back with the lights. And I just felt so home. I felt so good. I just knew those were my family. So that's how it started. The major part of it happened when I was 7. With my parents, finally, because I kept drawing these ancient ruins, they decided to take me to Persepolis. They thought that's what I was speaking about. So we were going, and this is the 1979 revolution had already happened, and we were going to Shiraz with the car to visit some family and finally go see the ancient ruins. On the way there, the night before, I had this awful dream. Something horrible would happen to my parents. And the very next day, we were in a horrific fatal car crash. And my parents, it was really, really rough, because my father went into the window. My mother, the steering wheel broke into her face, and smoke was coming out. The other car, they were dead right away. I was trapped in the car, and the car, our car was getting ready to blow up from all this smoke. It was really, really horrific, Jeff. And within that horrible, awful moment of me as a seven-year-old, something happened. Because when I looked at the blood everywhere, I knew my parents were dead. But within a second, there was some sound came out of my father indicating that he was not dead. He was stuck in the window and he dropped back. Within that, I had a mystical experience where while I was in that little body, I became ginormous. I moved out of my body. I became so big, way outside the car, way outside, go about 20 to 30 feet even bigger, and everything became weightless. There was no sound but this humming sound, and I was able to, as a seven-year-old, do things that is not so-called humanly possible. I was able to the wreckage move everything, but just everything was weightless like a feather, and I was able to lift my father one hand and pour, you know, take him out. And I thought my mother was there at that time. And I just sat there and I remember being ginormous. And I remember I knew everything in that moment. I knew exactly who I was and everything. And there's a whole lot of stories. So I'll skip this part. 30 years later, I was guided to write the book The Day I Became a Superhero, which is the story of what happened when I was a child in this. And it is a children inspirational memoir to help children recognize no matter what happens, there's this power they have in them. They are real superheroes and they can unleash that. So that's on that, and I'll speak to you why this is relevant to the ET. After this experience, a lot of miracles happened, which people call miracles, but it was very natural. One of the very first things that happened to me, I began being able to see beings go in and out through the walls very easily. I was able to fully see angels and higher angels, masters, the ascended masters, plus ET. There was one particular blue ET being about, really, really tall. I would say about 10 feet tall. He was with me right after that accident, which is very significant. And, you know, in Iran, these things were not really talked about because my parents went into coma after that. I was kind of like by myself for a little while and what's so special about that particular story, Jeff, is that we were taken to this tiny village in a tiny village way before Shiraz, and there were no phones there, so nobody knew what happened to us. But somebody that witnessed me as a child pulled my father out, reported it somewhere, so there was a story written in the newspaper in Tehran magazine, and that's how my uncles and them were able to find us, and they flew in to come find us. Then my parents were able to go into Tehran and have major operations because it was really rough what had happened to them. And from there on, my life took a different turn because I began this experience, particularly with this blue being that became my guardian. I could see him very clearly. I had full experiences with him. He would always, I demanded that he would sit with me every meal, whatever. He would sit next to me to eat. He would be he would also be in the room where I was sleeping. He would go to school with me. So school became a little bit of a challenge because the other kids were frightened of this. I was kicked out of school or called quite a bit. And then there would be crafts, UFO crafts over our house with lights that I would have full experience. And my dad would, this is before he transitioned, he would have that, he knew there were lights there, but couldn't put it in any context. But most of the time, my parents were just struggling because I was having experience with loved ones who had crossed over as well. So like, I remember my mother's grandmother had died. And we had gone, you know, when in Iran, when somebody transitions within 24 hours, they have to bury them. So I had gone to with my mom, and they were all, you know, hitting themselves, grandmother died, mourning. And meanwhile, I was like pulling my mom's hand, look, grandma's right here. I'm walking with her, her and I having a full conversation, but they're carrying the body. I'm like, no, no, she's right here. So that began my journey of being able to be a full medium as a young child, and also contactee with interdimensional beings, extraterrestrial beings, but not the ability to communicate anything. What is very significant about this part, Jeff, that I want to share, being in that fatal car crash, and this gift that came out of it for me, was that I was not scared anymore after that. I want to share this as a little child. The toughest part is when Iran and Iraq started the war, and we had to have bomb drills, and the airplane, I was scared of the how low the airplanes would fly, because when they dropped that the bombs, the sound of that was very, very traumatic. I can't even put the words around how awful that was, and the sound of the screams and what have you. However, what would happen at nighttime, the lights would go out on all the neighborhood, and we would go to each other's neighborhood, and we would go in so-called a bunker, and with one just candle. And I would look at all the parents, they were all frightened because you didn't know whether you live or die the next day. But I remember I was sitting there with a blue being, and I was just like, there was a joy in me. I knew everything would be okay. I just knew everything would be okay. And until this day, I've been blessed to be positioned in places. It brings tears to my heart because where people are so frightened and they're so in despair, and I can see that light so clearly, and I can see the joy of that celebration, that it couldn't be translated properly. So that was like my full awakening at age 7, with full blast, because this blue being was teaching me how to hear the sounds of the flowers. So I would go in the garden. My father had a lot of rose bushes, and he would tell me, come put my forehead on the flower. And I would put my forehead on the flower, and I could hear all these melodies of music inside of me, what the rose was singing. And then I would step back. He would say, now look. And then I could hear I could see the wave patterns of the sounds in front of me. So I began experiencing life in such an enriched way. And it was not an imagination or anything like that, full experience and lots of gifts that opened up. Yet it couldn't fully be anchored, because soon I began seeing and noticing others are not experiencing things. And in the Iranian, at that time, because of the Islamic tradition, they were very scared of these things called jinns that are like evil things. So then it started like my parents had to be like, don't say this, don't say that, don't say this, don't say that. So all of these things began that I just started shutting down. And we did migrate to the US. We had to leave everything and come and start life alone. And that was a very rough teenage life and what have you. not speaking English, not knowing the culture, not knowing anything. And I feel like everything caved in and I shut every door because I also wanted to be like everybody else. I couldn't share any of these with anyone, and the blue being was no longer with me. And I felt like I had a hole in me that I couldn't fulfill. So that was that journey until way later, when things started taking place with the birth of my son.
Honey, thank you for sharing your experiences with us. Do you think the blue being is a member of your star family, or was he just some type of guide here to assist you?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you he was absolutely one of the members of my star family, because I didn't know it at that time. I learned about it when I died on January 8, 2012. That's when everything was revealed to me. But yeah, he was assigned to assist. And I have to also go back for one more second. He was very significant because there was some sexual also abuse that was taking place during that time. And I'm very excited to be on your podcast, because I do want to talk about the Antarians at one point and their role with those of us who experienced sexual abuse and what that was. So that would be a little bit later on, but I just wanted to make a comment on that. So absolutely a member of my star family.
So during this car crash, it sounds like you were outside of your body, but still controlling it from the outside.
I was in my body, and I literally, for lack of a better word, imagine like you're in your body, you become the Hulk, but it's even bigger, even ginormous. And I could remember I was out here, and I was looking at my fingers, but my fingers were not this. My fingers were like this. I was in that body while I saw the other little body, the 7-year-old. And I got to the direct experience. Who I am is this phenomenal, ginormous light that's so big, and everything is weightless. There was no gravity, there was no weight, there was none of that in there. And there was this joyous, it was like this shimmering, translucent presence that I got to experience. And within that, I was able to have my human body do things that a 7-year-old cannot do. A 7-year-old cannot lift the door like that. That's jammed. A 7-year-old cannot lift. There was no weight with my father. My father weighed like 170 pounds. I'm lifting at a 7-year-old tiny little thing like this, you know? But I got to experience what true alchemy is at that time, what it's like to be in your other body and then allow your little body to do things that it defies all laws of gravity, the laws of human reality. That was my first taste of it, yet I couldn't fully anchor it, deliver it at the age of 7 throughout my years until way years later, till I could just allow it to be a path of service later.
So when you say you were in your other body, are you saying like you were in your higher self, or what other body are you referring to?
I would absolutely say I was in my higher body, my higher self. Because I remember when I was in that body, I could look down into this body and I could go from that body to this body. I was consciousness there. And this is why this is so significant, because when I died this turn, I was shown what that was. Everything was explained to me in afterlife, because I got experience of it, but I couldn't put it together. I didn't have anybody to talk to that could translate what the experience was.
After you moved to the U.S., you said that the blue being left you. But do you believe he really left you, or you just limited your ability.
I shut back.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, was he always there? You just didn't see him anymore.
Well, best I can tell you is I shut down. I completely shut down. I shut everything off. And I shut it off. And it was forcefully opened back up when my dad died when I was 21. I shut from that period. I shut it off from a period of 10 years.
What I'm trying to ask is that even though you shut it off, was he still there by your side?
I wouldn't see him. I wouldn't see the angels. I wouldn't see the masters. I wouldn't see the other ones. No, they're of course always there. I just shut everything out. So I had no communication because it was really hard. I would see so many people go in and out through the walls. I would see, for example, people that I'm friends I'm talking to, I'm seeing their crossed over loved ones behind them. I would have, you know, I would have a lot of these experiences, and then they would tell me things, and I would see certain things inside of them. What they're telling me is not the truth. I can see they're not, and then the colors would change. So, and this was very hard to be able to live in that. And when we came to the US, because we lost everything, and we had to start from zero and learn how to speak English, learn, just even try to have friends and all of that. So somewhere in me was decided to completely shut this so that maybe I can be normal like everybody else. But brought a lot of suffering being normal because I lost touch with that part of me that I knew was me.
Do you think that this blue being is an Arcturian?
Absolutely.
Does he have a name?
No. Well, in when I was a child, he would call me, I would call him Agay Espa. Espa, it has a little funny name. And that's what I would call Mr. Espa. It was like that. And that's what I would call him. But later I learned, I didn't know what Arcturians were at all. I didn't even learn about them till I crossed over. I didn't know anything about who Arcturians were.
All right. Well, let's fast forward in time to your near-death experience and when you crossed over.
Sure. So it was January 6th, 2012. And I'm going to just, January 8th, 2012, I'm just going to back up just a little bit before that, because what's significant is the 5 years before the ND experience, I had opened this center in the Washington, D.C. metro area. And within that, I was somehow it just so happened, all kinds of different mediums and psychics, and all of them were drawn to my center. And I was studying Reiki with a very, this beautiful older lady every Wednesday, going in her garden, studying. I was her only student. And something else was happening during that time. I began experiencing all kinds of other phenomena because I'd shut the door so tight, and the door kind of blasted open when I was first 21, because when my dad died, I returned back to that door, and that took me on a journey until about 8 years later, till my first son was born. When my first son was born, he was ill, and it crushed me. That week crushed me with what I had to experience, and that's when again another door opened up. And I returned back to that communication, and things began happening. So when, by the time my second son was born, all kinds of things were happening. And I'm sharing this, why this is significant to before the actual near-death experience, because a lot was happening. My youngest son, we were having blue beings coming in the house. That started. We were having crafts over our house. we were having different, let's say, especially my youngest one, having memories of him and I on a ship, on a crystal ship, and I was his sister. Why am I his mother? And he couldn't sleep. He's like 3-year-old. He couldn't sleep, and he would demand the crystals to be there. So it was because of him I had to go find crystals. He needed to set up in a certain grid just so he can sleep. So all of these were happening behind the scene. And at my center, because of what happened to my first son, I took all the knowledge and I became a public spokesperson about some of the things that I was speaking about. So all of these things were happening. And meanwhile, my former spouse was a special agent with Department of Defense top secrets in Pentagon. And we were beginning to have all of these other things happening. So that's why I wanted to lay that a little bit behind. And again, blue beings back in the house. And this one was initiated with my youngest son. And he would have a lot of experiences. And what was amazing, because I could finally be the parent to him that I wasn't parented. I didn't have that support. So I could just really assist them. So moving forward, I became sick. And on January 8, 2012, I died. And I knew I was getting ready to cross. And so I'll speak about what happened to that. The hole that I mentioned to you, remember that hole I talked to you about since a childhood that we left, I shut the door. So this was opening. And that hole wanted to be filled, but I couldn't fill it because I couldn't fully share the enriched experiences with others. I felt I was back being a 7-year-old where I'm having all of these experiences again now with my children. We're having even more experiences. My kids are now involved. Now it's shut even door. I can't speak it because of my husband's, my former spouse's job and everybody else and people. So I was back in that place. And that brought a lot of sadness to me. So this hole kept getting bigger in my heart. Not a physical hole, but the hole of the pain. That's what I want to speak with. That led eventually to me being very sick. I got a very rare illness that affected my thyroid and was knocking my system down and, you know, the organs shutting down. And one thing led to another. So this particular day, January 8, 2012, I had hidden myself from a lot of people, and I happened to be around a lot of healers, and I wanted to make sure people did not know. I hid it so well from even my mother and my brother. I didn't want anybody to know what was happening, because part of me was, I was aware of what was taking place, and I was just sad that I couldn't be myself completely. And I'd rather just go, at least I know where I'm going, or I thought I knew where I was going. So when I came out of my body, Jeff, the first most incredible experience was this weightless, being so weightless and joyous, being out of my body, looking at my body down, and just feeling this gratitude that I'm not in that body anymore. It was like the suffering was so much. Thank goodness this is done. So I circled above the room for a little while, and without any desire to stay any further, I was out of that that room. And I have to say, I was still in a body, but not obviously physical body. It was a spirit body. And that spirit body was very much this, but in more translucent light form, not, and it had shape, form, everything, but just not physical. So as soon as I came out and I left the room, it went up and it went towards the stratosphere. And right there was the very first angelic, one of the higher angelic beings that met me, that had more of the pink rose gold tone to her. And she put with her hand, she put these circles of three specific rings of vapor. It's so difficult to translate in words. These rings of vapor around me that was also like shimmering pinkish ray of light with gold tone in it. As she did that, I remember the excitement of seeing her, because of being able to see them before. Here was again, I'm experiencing this mighty angel. And this one was Archangel Haniel that greeted me. And she took me a little bit further. And this was very interesting, Jeff. When she took me a little bit further up, I was brought still in that spirit body. I was brought into two corridors, lack of a better word. I could, to my right, it was sort of like a oval area that I could see. It was all of my relatives that had crossed over, and they were clapping and they were excited. My uncle was there, my grandmother, my grandfather, my cousins. I could see all of them, and I was so joyous to see them and their radiance. It was so light filled, so ecstatic in joy. And then Archangel Haniel looked at me and showed me to my left. You know, in your videos, you have this sort of like oval thing with the blue light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was exactly very much like that, like a darker blue electric platinum light. And it was to my left. And she pointed to me that I have to go that way telepathically. And I had no idea why, but that's where I had to go. I wasn't to go with where the relatives were. So when I went through that, it was very much like the beginning of your show. You see, it's exactly that. I went through that, and when I came out, I was no longer Jeff in a spirit body. I was in a different place. And this different place was best that I can describe it was like inside a nebula with the light, and that all these different lights, like sparkle of light, like a nebula had been bursted. Quiet, extreme quiet, extreme beauty and gorgeousness, like that colors I'd never seen before. And I was in just consciousness, seeing. There was not even a spirit body anymore. And from there, my consciousness sort of like raised more. Again, lack of a better word, it's very difficult to describe that because I didn't go into the dark void or anything like that. I was then moved to another dimensional consciousness. And that's when I entered this kind of like a, again, lack of a better word, like a federation council meeting room place. And my consciousness was brought, as it was brought, I remember it was like a very large circular room. There was certain windows to my right, to my left, and there were 12 blue beings. Very large, about 18 to 20 feet. I mean, there was no feet. They were translucent in that same blue color of the being that I knew as a child. You couldn't see their face, but there was this light behind them. And so they were standing in a semicircle, six to my right, six to my left, and there was a space between them. My consciousness was brought into this meeting, and I understood that they had awaited my arrival, as they said, they've been waiting for me to come. And I remember my consciousness was beyond ecstatic, again, ecstatic in joy that I was back. I was finally back. I was with them again. I was finally with my family. That, even though there was no body, even though there was no light body, any of that, but my consciousness was so excited to remember that. And over there, they introduced themselves as the Arcturian Golden Council of 12, the elders. And they explained to me that I was also one of them. And they brought this screen in front. And within the screen, they began showing me a whole bunch of things, very fast moving screens of my lives on Earth, the many, many, many lives that I lived on Earth, and very significant things in times of history that I needed to see. For example, from Lemuria to Atlantis to the time of Christ, very significant things that were shown. And then from there, Jeff, they brought this holograph in the middle of the, in the middle, sort of like my consciousness seeing this, and they're telepathically showing me this holograph of my DNA, and they said they're adjusting certain DNA, and I had no idea what that was even for, and I was able to see certain things reshifted, restructured in a certain way, and certain colors. This was very important. Certain ways, certain colors. And then from there, then they open up the soul agreement of my father, my mother, my brother, and why Middle East. It was so interesting. This sort of like the book of the revelation, but my own book of revelation was shown as a soul. So I was able to see the soul agreement, why my father chose to be my father, why my mother, why my, you know, brother and what have you. And certain things that had to go through, especially like the sexual abuse, why I had to come to the Middle East and why I had to chose to be a woman to come through that, for what purpose, and several other things. Let's just say a lot was shown to my consciousness. And after that, plus a whole lot more happened there. Then this beaming light began to appear in that middle space between the six, the 12 elder Arcturians. So six to six, in that middle space where the screen was, that was moved, and this sort of like vapor of pure white light started appearing, and a blinding light that I have no words for till this day. And I remember my consciousness was just moving to even more ecstasy, more joy, more gratitude, more thankfulness. And I was moving, my consciousness moving towards this light, and this light was coming down, meeting my consciousness. As I got closer, it took a form, and the form was beloved Yeshua, the living Christ. And immediately words began speaking, and he said certain things to me. And he said, you cannot be with us, my child. You must go back and share this. And I want to say what was so significant about this was that when he says share this, it was a consciousness that he was sharing with me. When my consciousness moved towards this light, I got to experience again the experience I had as a child, what that light was, what that luminosity was, what that true crystalline omnipresence was. And when he said, share this, was not preaching, not teaching, but share what this divine love that we come from, we return back to is. So within that, I got to again fully recognize, fully realize, fully embrace the truth of what I was and where I'm going back to. And within that, he said, you have to go back and share this and a few other things that he mentioned. And with that, I was sent back again. I went through different dimensional planes. I'm skipping a lot in between here. I went through many different dimensional planes and I dropped into my body. And that was very startling because I wanted nothing to do to be back. I didn't even have a chance to negotiate it because I just didn't want to come back. I wanted to stay there. I was finally back home. And within three days, my entire body was healed. I was completely healed and I was no longer the honey that was there before. It was a different honey that had entered that body with complete clarity. And I came back with unusual abilities because from there I went on this wild journey of saying yes to the call and fully embracing it. And so naturally went through separation, loss of the house, loss of business, lost everything. Everything went down to a suitcase and a half for 5 years on a road to uncertain places on the land to where the Arcturians and beloved Yeshua, Mary Magdalene, and a few other things, and the indigenous of the land will have me do certain things on the land to help transform the energy to bring this light stream in, and a whole lot more. So that's a whole another complete topic of what this last 12 years has been, including my now spouse that I've been with for 7 years came so we can serve this mission together.
Well, I have a bunch of questions for you.
Yes.
Let me start back at the beginning. How did you leave your body in the first place?
Okay, so my heart stopped. My heart completely stopped. And it just, I came out of it.
What caused your heart to stop?
I don't know what would cause my heart to stop. I was very ill and I feel for that period of 4 minutes or so, whatever took place, a whole lot happened naturally in afterlife. And I should say this to you, probably this will help. I was not in a hospital. This is probably important. I was not at home either. I'd set up an appointment for craniosacral. I wanted to make sure nobody knew. I had so much pain in here. Pain in my body, the fever, and my legs were so weak. I'd lost a lot of weight. I looked like a ghost walking. It was really bad. And I was just in so much, I just needed somebody to touch the back of my head, but I wanted to make sure none of my friends knew. And the doctor that I had gone seen, he had said, honey, this is really bad. You're dying. I said, I know. He's like, honey, I can't like let you. I said, it's not up to you. I just knew what was happening. And I wanted to hide it. I was in that place. I wanted to hide it. I just knew this was happening and I didn't want to interrupt and I didn't want anybody to save me either. And I feel this is significant to share this. I wasn't trying to get rid of myself, but I just couldn't be fully who I was meant to be. And the burden of life was way too much to be able to embrace all of these gifts. I needed to be me and I couldn't be me. So this massage place that I went, this gentleman, he had his hand on my craniosacral here. And within that, I had told him I'm not feeling well. That's all I had left him. And during that is when my heart stopped. So let me retract. When I came back to my body, he was screaming. I was joyous. He was like, oh my God. I was like, like two different experiences. And it was really traumatic for him because he told me how shocked He went into frozen mode. He didn't know what to do because he thought he had killed me. There was no pulse. He was checking. There was no breath coming out of me. And he was frozen. He just, his hands was there. He was frozen, praying that this wasn't happening before him. And he was just so shocked that he just kept saying, he's like, I thought I killed you. I thought I killed you. I thought I killed you. Like, he was just so shocked. Meanwhile, I was like blissed out in my experience. And that's how I left. And he said it was about 4 minutes, 4 minutes and 10 seconds or so. So that's what I have for you.
Do you think that in between each one of your lives here on the planet, you would go back to the council?
That's a good question. So I was shown 844 lives on Earth. And between those 844 lives, it was not just going to the Arcturians. This is very important. And I'm so happy you asked that question, because I was also with Antarians. I was also with Syrians. I was also with Lyrans. So in between, there was an adjustment. And I learned about other ones as well, such as Avalians and Timoians that people don't even know about. So I've learned after my NDE, I was able to have contact. They came, introduced themselves, sharing more about their civilizations and what have you. And then I learned to communicate in their languages, so I can communicate in many of these other languages through their language. And that those are some of the things that opened up. Thank you for that question.
So you were at this Arcturian council meeting, basically, and then Jesus came.
Yeshua, not Jesus.
Is that the same person?
It is not in that. It is not. He is known as Yeshua by his living, not the name that the humans gave him.
Okay. So yeah. When Yeshua showed up, do you think Yeshua was also an Arcturian? And if not, what is his place in the universe?
That's a great question. Thank you so much. I can't fully answer that for you. What I can tell you is that Yeshua is also a star being. And there are people that believe he was Venetian. There are people that do believe he was Arcturian. There are some that say he was more of a Syrian descent and what have you. I don't choose to answer that, because that part was never revealed to me. So I can only answer that which was directly shown to me, revealed to me, that is significant. What was the role of his significance was that his Christ light, because Arcturians went through their ascension and they live in that place of true fifth dimensional love, crystalline vibration, and they're part of those of us who came to do the grid work. I was assigned to very specific grid work of the third grid system, which is the golden liquid light. Very few of us were assigned to that. The rest of them have to transport, actually bury crystals. My planetary work was not like that. And the planetary work was this crystalline Christ light, for it to be embedded into Earth so that it can rise from underneath to first transform the energy of that darkness into light, and for it, so the new realities, this fifth dimensional consciousness, can begin to anchor onto the surface of Earth, but underneath had to be cleared first. And that's why it was very significant, the work with the indigenous tribe, the Arcturians, and the Christ light, and this Yeshua crystalline light was also with Mary Magdalene. It wasn't just one, it was that this unity together. So that's what was open within each individual. And that is so significant part of why that collaboration took place.
You said that you came back as like a completely different person.
Yes.
Does that mean that you are now a walk-in?
Great question. So when I came back, there was a walk-in with me that came in. And it wasn't a full walk-in because, you know, there's the full walk-in with that solo agreement, and mine was a partial walk-in. And I'll explain that in a second, because it had to have certain memories of the old honey intact with it, because it was very significant. Because, for example, the childhood experience with the blue beings, all of these things were very significant part of it. So certain memories had to be carried forward. And that duration of where this partial walk-in that was to be able to complete this work, which was on the planetary level, that other honey would not be able to have handled it. So this one had to be able to come in to handle that. And within that, as a result of it, this took on a 12-year, and it was only this March of this year that partial also stepped aside. Now it's the full embraced version of the honey that is supposed to walk this is now completely here. So there's certain segments within this.
After this 12 years had passed and you changed, the other being left and went back to the fifth dimension?
I can't tell you which dimension that one left to. So it was a part of being able to assist that 12-year period from 12-12 to, you know, this a little bit before 12-12, I have to say, but it is because 11-11 was 11-11-11 is when my book was published, and I'm going to just pause with me for a second because this is significant for me to share. That morning when I heard the voice to go write about what happened in that car accident, which became my book, I heard a voice. Again, I didn't know whose voice that was. I just followed the voice and I went, sat on my computer, and within 3 hours, the book was written about the day I became a superhero. I did not write it because the English is a little bit funny. My grammar, all of this, I've never felt confident in English. And that voice when I crossed over was Yeshua. When I closed my center, I was at a mystical experience in California, and I heard the voice to come close the center. You have to now do this. It was again the voice of Yeshua. I didn't know this until I crossed over. And why this is significant is because, again, from this period was about a period of 12 years where I would receive the communication so clearly without any interference, so I could deliver the task. And until I delivered these tasks, then this partial walk-in then had to then go back. So then my own embodiment of the Christ light can be in this body that it is in, to then begin the message of I am. What is I am? The experience that I had, I am that I am. And that's what I experienced with when I was afterlife. Through Yeshua, as I moved towards his light, I got to experience that which was, it was showing me, I am that I am. And that was the same experience when I had when I was 7 in the car crash, you see? So all of it started coming in so that I can now hear amongst people here to actually live it, not preach it, not necessarily speak it, but live it. What's it like to alchemize this, continuously bring it into this body and walk it? And this is why the planetary work was done. Now it's the embodiment. These bodies have to become the pure crystalline light.
It's my understanding that you were raised in a Muslim household, especially since you referenced the jinn.
Yes.
Would you say that for many years of your life, you were a practicing Muslim? And then if so, how did that all change into where you are now?
Thank you for that. So my parents were both of Islamic I can't say descent of religious background, both the sides, but my parents were both non-religious. They were, there were certain things that, you know, they their family was. And so, but it was predominantly Islamic. I never practiced. It was never, I was never forced upon it, none of that. And naturally, when I got married, I married outside. I married somebody who was Southern Baptist, of African American, Native American, Irish, Canadian descent. And later we found out he had a little bit of Jewish in there as well. So I married completely outside culture, religion, everything. And again, we didn't, it wasn't really practiced. I had gone to my first Southern Baptist church. I fell in love with it. I absolutely loved the singing, all of that. Yet when I would go, there was something that didn't quite resonate with me. I couldn't put my word, I couldn't put the finger on it, I couldn't put word around it. And later, when after this experience, went through separation and divorce, I'm married to somebody who came from a complete Jewish faith, and his family were also not so much practicing. So he grew up with all multi-faiths as well. And my studies were all multi-faiths. I studied all Eastern philosophies as well as Western, and I just felt I couldn't fit into any of them. I was always trying to find, where do I belong? And with this experience, with my direct experience, I learned it was none of that. It was this pure love, that crystalline love is within each of us, and can we bring it here? I learned where I would go when I do leave this body, and that consciousness is already within me right here, right now. And because I had that experience as a seven-year-old, I've learned now the mechanics of what it is to be able to drop into my heart and experience that Christ, like come into that awareness, that presence, the mighty I am, and the omnipresence, and boom, here it is. I do not need to be in a synagogue. I don't need to be in a mosque. I don't need to be in a church. I don't need to be anywhere. I can be here right now. I am inside the house of God because I am right here, and I'm part of that, and I'll return back to that. So that's that awareness that became ignited in me, to share it and share it from the place of its true essence, which is love, which is acceptance. And this is why my spouse that I'm with, again, we are two different backgrounds, nationalities, all of that. And for us is the message of love, and not just the human love, the divine love. That's what we know, and that's what we are here to share. But in being it.
I guess I just found it interesting that from your background, during your NDE, you encountered Yeshua,
right,
which is basically a Christian symbol in a way. But you did encounter Prophet Muhammad or Moses from the other religions.
And you want to know something more interesting? This is what's interesting. When I was a kid, we had three doors down. There was a neighbor we had who was, her name was Annabelle, Christine and Annabelle. And they were Christians. And I remember I would go to their house and just to see him. But they had a picture of Jesus, and I just loved looking at it. I was in love and looking at that picture. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything. I'm very young, 5-6 year old. Now, throughout, I heard this one particular voice. I never knew whose voice it was until I crossed over when he spoke to me. I realized it was his voice. It was Yeshua's voice. And the thing that I want to tell you, what is so significant, and Yeshua never, ever asked me to claim to be a Christian. He never asked me that you're a Christian. It was none of that. That's not what he said, go share. That's not, and this is why it's been, some individuals have had a real challenge. How come you met Yeshua? You have to claim to be a Christian now. I was like, that's not what was asked of me at all. That's why I can't claim any religion. There is love in all religions and I respect all. So I am a reverend and I'll come into that. And it's the inner faith ministry. It's inner, that pure love of divine source you get to experience where you are coming to you, to the truth of what you are, who you are. And that's why I can't claim that. And that's what I was shown. That's what was revealed to me, seen, realized, recognized. And it's that love that leads the way.
So what did Yeshua ask you to share?
Exactly what I just shared. The beingness of that love. Can I fully embody the crystalline love? Can I allow that kingdom of heaven be open up in me, in my own gateway, in my own stargate, and bring it into earth? Can I walk it? Will I walk this walk of light, this walk of the light of love? That means meeting adversity, meeting diversity, meeting challenges, and meeting them with this crystalline love. I keep saying crystalline love because that Christ love is a crystalline frequency. It's diamond. It radiates so profoundly. And it is an actual tool to walk it. It's the real alchemy. You see behind me, it says Ascension Alchemy. I was told, me and my spouse now, we're the Ascension Alchemists. We are alchemizing Ascension. What does that mean? The embodiment of this Ascension, not out there, right here, right now, in this body, bringing it in and opening the pathways within and walking the light of love.
Are you still in contact with either Yeshua or the Arcturians?
Every day. Every single day. And it's not just Arcturians either. It's Sirians, Lyrans, work very closely with them, not as much as Pleiadians. Yeshua, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, there are a few other councils. Also, the intergalactic councils, I do meet with them quite. There's a lot they have shown. The Great Order of Melchizedek, they're big ones that Michael and I are working with. There is Saint Germain, the Seven Sacred Flames. So my reverendship went through that. I had to go after this, I had to go through the training in their temple to learn how to bring the will of God in me. How to live it, how to walk it, how to transmute it. So that's been a big 12-year journey. And of course, the mighty, there are a few very closely with the team of angels, angels of light.
You mentioned that you published your book on 11/11, the one about being a superhero.
On 11/11/11, yeah, it came out.
Do you have any other books?
Right now, there's one book that I am finishing, which is the I Am Daily Messages. So from the I am that I am, the message that I receive and how to embody it. So to help people 365 days, not as an affirmation. Affirmations are great, but we're not talking about affirmations. The message that you can actually embody as a consciousness. So I have a group that is following along every day to where these messages receive, and they're able to allow it in their breath into their body. So that will be coming out. There's also a book that Michael and I are finishing. It's called Channeling the Masters. I am a full trans medium, trans channeler. So one of the things that did take place after the NDE, I was able, my body was able to be utilized for a temporary space as a full trans channeler, where my consciousness would completely step on the side, and one of these ascended masters of light or the Galactus would enter in, and for duration of, let's say, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, would bring very specific information. And we have a lot of transcript on that. But me, honey, as that is speaking to you, would not have auditory memory of it. It would, because I would experience everything visually, and my consciousness would be on the side. And so Michael has had the opportunity to meet with many of these different beings, assistant masters and galactics, and where they brought very technical, very specific information for the planet and humanity. So, oh my gosh, we have so much transcription, because it was a period of 2.5 years, a little bit more, that we have transcriptions and transcriptions and transcriptions that we're still transcribing, and for that to be out. So, and they have asked for it not to be changed. They want it exactly how it comes. You know, most of the channelers are not a fully in trance. So as an incorporated, it takes a little bit longer, because when it enters, then my body, it takes a while for me to come back to my body, because I'm in complete trance and no memory of what happened. And so that's why, like, the wording, the way it comes out, it takes a little while, because it's between the breaths that what is shared. So it takes a while to transcribe it.
Now, you have a YouTube channel, right?
Yes. I have a YouTube channel for Honeybee, and also we have one for our Ascension Alchemist channel as well.
What kind of content are you posting there?
So I will share this with you. For Honeybee, for a while I stopped. After we were very busy with our Sunday service, with our Monday night meditations, with the Ascension Hour, with all the different the podcasts I had. And after COVID for a little while, I had to completely stop, because I had to just stop for a little while, especially after all the amount of transmedium, trans channeling material that had come in. My body needed to get adjusted. So the content, I stopped for a little while, and we started to roll back with it. So it's been more of a some of these everyday experiences, where it's not so much teaching. Some of it is still teaching, but some of it is just everyday experience. Here it is. This is what I experienced. Some humorous, some just like, you know, facing adversity, how do we meet it with grace? And it's more content of every day right now.
Is that channel called Ascension Alchemy or The Alchemist?
So we have one for Ascension Alchemy, and the other one is my channel, Honeybee, H-O-N-I-B-E. It's actually Reverend Honeybee.
Well, do you have anything else that you're working on that you want us to know about?
Well, yes, right now, you know, we just got back from California. So one of the things that was shown to me when I'd crossed over, that first is this part of the land work in many different locations on Earth where this crystalline light can be anchored. So this fifth dimensional frequency of the new Earth can be implemented through the unification of pure love and pure collaboration, which these children can really benefit from. One of the things was this sanctuary temple space. It's not a temple, but we're going to call it temple, is going to be built. There are 12 locations. So on this trip that we went to California for three and a half months, we were very blessed to meet some of the potential people who are investors who can take part, because we can't do it all. We are the custodians of that place, and where the meditations will take place, the healings will take place, but we need the assistant to be able to build it. So we were able to meet many beautiful individuals that has seen into this vision, and they know it's part of Earth. It is part of next level for humanity. There's part with advanced technology also in it. The meditations is the key, and the meditation hall that is free and available to all at all times. This is very important part of the place that we're building. Then there is the other area, which is the healings and teachings. Those will be paid, but this part, it must be free to humanity. So it's been a blessing coming back here in East Coast and coming back with some of these potentials that are wanting to support us in that. And we're looking, there are others that know they're part of this. We're welcoming them to come give a hand in the way that you know these have to be built, and they know who they are. So we're welcoming them in. So my colleague can just do our part. The rest can do between the architectural and the developer, and you know, all of that can come do their part.
Honey, after watching this podcast, people yes. may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Sure. Are you open to that? And if so, how can they contact you?
Absolutely. Best is to email me, please. And the email is, I have you email our Ascension Alchemists email. That's the easiest. It's ascensionalchemists@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at Ascension Alchemists that you can find. And on YouTube, we're Ascension Alchemy Association. I'm sorry, on Facebook. And you can reach out wherever you are. And Michael and I are both full-time transformational master healers. A lot of our work is this transformational healing that we facilitate on individuals, on couples, and in groups. So feel free to reach out, and however way we can best assist, we will. Yet we know we're not for everybody. We are for individuals that are ready to embody their truth. That's where we're positioned.
Well, before we finish up, can you give us one last positive message?
Oh, sure. I would be delighted. The positive message that I like to really share from my heart is that truly, truly, your walk of life is your sacred walk. In however way you're walking it, however way you're delivering it, because you are the most important part of this walk of life. And when you embrace yourself, you love yourself the way God source loves you, you will allow these heavenly goods to stream through you and not only benefit you, but benefit everything and everyone around you. So please be your authentic self and choose to walk in your authenticity of who you really are. It's the greatest gift you can give to yourself and to everyone else. And all is well.
Thank you for your message, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm really, really thankful that you gave me the opportunity to blend these two together and bring this forward. I'm besides myself in gratitude. Really, really thank you.
The pleasure was all mine. Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.